The text I'm going to read today contains the very first words of the New Testament. Thessalonians is the first book that was written in the New Testament, and so listen for the kinds of ways that Paul and Silas and Timothy here are expressing their love and welcome of other people. Listen for the word of the Lord. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers constantly, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. You yourselves know, brothers and sisters, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully mistreated at Philippi, as you know, we had courage in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in spite of great opposition. For our appeal does not spring from deceit or impure motives or trickery, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the message of the gospel, even so we speak, not to please mortals, but to please God, who tests our hearts. As you know, and as God is our witness, we never came with words of flattery or with a pretext for greed, nor did we seek praise from mortals, whether from you or from others, though we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a mother, a nurse, tenderly caring for her own children. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also ourselves, because you have become very dear to us. You remember our labor and toil, brothers and sisters. We work day and night so that we might not burden any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how pure, upright, and blameless our conduct was toward you believers. And as you know, we dealt with each one of you like a father with his children, urging and encouraging you, and pleading that you lead a life worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. We also constantly give thanks to God for this, that when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as what it really is, God's word, which is also at work in you believers. The word of the Lord. As I look out today into the congregation, I realize that some of you are here for the first time, and some of you are here for the first time in this series. So I want us to just track back just a little bit and review where we've been as we've looked at the core values of First United Presbyterian Church. So we have been talking about inspiring worship, spiritual growth, faithful service, loving relationships, generous stewardship, and welcoming community. These are things that we believe are the marks, the definition of who we are becoming as the people of God here. And today we focus specifically, as you can already hear in everything we're doing, on welcoming community, striving to be an inviting and supportive Christian family. One of the big blessings of being living in Marin County, California, and having Phil there in a development role was that on Sunday mornings, instead of being in a pulpit or a pew every week, on occasion we got to be able to sit in a congregation just like you do. And we got to worship and determine how people were going at welcoming others to their worship services. And no matter where we were, from the West Coast to the East Coast, North or South, Presbyterian churches were doing a good job with this. Some had big banners that read welcome, gigantic banners. Some met us in the parking lot with golf carts, taking us from the car to the sanctuary. Some deployed people with umbrellas on rainy Sunday mornings. We saw people wearing Ask Me buttons so that it was easy to figure out how to find your way when you were brand new to a congregation. There were information areas and information stations and booths, places where you could get on myriads of computers and sign in your children for childcare if there happened to be 150 children in the nursery, or places where you could view on projection screens everything that the congregation was doing in mission and in service, in everyday life together, faces of children and faces of youth and adults being moved by the Spirit in worship. Some in their bulletins would announce what kind of church they were. They were a Stephen Ministry church. They were a More Light church. They were a Christ Care church. They were an Earth Care church. They used their bulletins to tell about how to come to communion so that it would be welcoming for strangers. They talked about how to find large print resources or where the refreshments were. Some enthusiastically shared the peace of Christ, and others intentionally left it out. And it's amazing how similar and how different these congregations were from each other. Some were clearly thinking about how to be welcoming, and others were not. On the downside, some pinned ribbons clearly marked visitor on you the second that you stepped inside the door, whether you wanted them or not. Some took you firmly by the arm and guided you to the guest register, waiting until you had signed not only your name, but also your address. Some had greeters that hugged everyone right away, whether they'd ever met you before or not. Some ushers led us all the way to the front pew, whether that was where we wanted to sit or not. And sometimes no one spoke to us, no one at all. And those were the difficult times of being a member or a visitor in a church. I like this little story of what church means and how it can feel to some, and I want us to have a child's view on this for just a moment. A 6-year-old little girl and her 4-year-old brother were sitting together in a church service. Her brother giggled and sang and talked out loud, and it annoyed her big sister. She had had enough, and so she said, "You're not supposed to talk out loud in church." And he said, "Who's going to stop me?" And she pointed to the back of the church, and she said, "See those men standing by the door? They are hushers." We have a lot of misconceptions about what the church is and how we're to behave here, but we don't want anyone to feel very hushed. We want the Spirit to move in this place and for there to be a warm welcome for all. One of the things I feel proudest of you for in this congregation is how accepting you are of people who are different from you who come to worship, people who come from all walks of life. You've been noticing it in worship over the last couple of months as worship committee said, let's have all the voices of people, everyone who comes to worship, be seen as we worship together. And I know that many of you have loved the voices of children and youth. You don't try to be something that you're not. You just work with your best and put that forward. And it's a loving congregation. In these 6 years, I've watched you be very caring and non-judgmental. You've gone out of your way to help people, and sometimes you have started their lives over completely. People who could be and have been ignored in society find a warm welcome here because this is Christ's church, not our church. We will continue to make a place of welcome for all. But it has to be authentic. It has to look like us. not like the street, the church down the street has to look like us. Well, as this book of Thessalonians opens, we have a healthy church, a church that Paul and Silas and Timothy have started together. They went on from there. It's their second missionary journey now, and they've gone on to Berea and Athens and Corinth. And Timothy has brought word that things are not as good in Thessalonica as they had hoped. It's thriving, but they are facing persecution. They're facing opposition. People are going after Paul's credibility, and so Paul writes to them to stay focused on the one motive of pleasing God in all they do. And I love that it starts with these thankful words, and then they come up twice in this text. We always give thanks to God for all of you. That's the way he pastored. That's the way that he showed warmth to others and welcome to others. We always give thanks to God for all of you. Love and affection for this church that had been founded. Now, I want to say three things about the text. One, that welcome is found in the gospel of God. And then second, that welcome is found in our care for one another. And thirdly, that welcome is found under the cross. And I know we have a full service, so I'm going to try to move through these rather quickly, and I won't be able to say everything that I was able to say in the first service. But that will probably be okay. Welcome is found in the gospel of God. This good news, this gospel of ours, is a great unifier. It brings people into the kind of community that Jacob was talking about. It makes us friends with one another, people of common purpose. We find our identity in the death and resurrection of Christ. We recognize that we are rescued. And so Paul says to live gently with others, like a nurse or like a mother caring for her children. And he urged and encouraged them to live a life pleasing to God, like a father caring for his children. It's a mishmash of people here, Jews and Gentiles, put together by common commitment to Jesus Christ. And what does a church like that look like? Well, I found a picture of that, I think a picture of it, in a leadership journal. Some of you know Leadership Magazine. So Leadership Journal, and there was the story of a church in Iowa City, Iowa, a community where we used to live. And in the 60s, they moved from downtown out to another part of that community. And 40 years later, they found that they had an aging congregation and dwindling attendance, and they needed to remake themselves in a diverse neighborhood. And by looking at scriptures about the compassionate Christ and how they were to care for their neighbors, they hired a parish nurse and through her began to see needs all around them in the people that lived in the neighborhood. They started a helpline with some funds. They relinquished control of the space a few years later and had a Hispanic congregation move in and began to have services in Spanish. And a year later, they had services for an African community in their native tongue. And then a third culture came, a youth congregation. And so three cultures were living in one congregation that had been reframed. This kind of welcome is what we find in the gospel of God. And the welcome happens not only here, but beyond these doors. We probably haven't begun to welcome people until we step outside the doors, and that is in our care for one another. We step out and we care like the people did in this text from Thessalonians, caring deeply, having the right motives, not flattering ourselves or being greedy about how we care, but sharing that care with one another. Welcome happens not only here, but beyond the doors, as I said, and that's why as pastors we say that being a welcoming church is noticing not only those who come through these doors to us, but also reaching out into the community, turning ourselves inside out and bringing outsiders in until they no longer are outsiders and we no longer are insiders. There was a PCUSA, Presbyterian Church USA, initiative of growing churches deep and wide, has been for a number of years, and in 2012 it began 1,001 new worshiping communities, where over a period of 10 years we hoped to begin not new churches, but different ways of people worshiping together. And I want to, with regard to our care for one another, say that this is one of those churches. It's called Wings and a Prayer, and it's not a church that meets in a building so much as it is a church that meets in the neighborhood and then sometimes comes back to a building. What they did is someone in the congregation was in the neighborhood and asked this question: how could there be a church on every block and a community looking the way this one looks? And so they went out among their neighbors and said, there's a future for you. God has a future for you. They went where people didn't always go, where people typically would drive by or look down or ignore their neighbors. And they began to offer food and prayer, and they began to change lives. They began to notice those who were part of sex trafficking and to help them come out of that. They began to notice people deeply addicted to drugs and alcohol and helped them come out of that. They started to come to 9:30 worship because they had experienced Christian community on the streets. Welcome is found in our care for one another. And then lastly, welcome is found under the cross. I love to say this, and I said it in the Loving Relationships sermon too, because you just can't be in this sanctuary and not recognize that we're all right under this cross. And this cross is the great leveler of people. The ground is level beneath this cross, and no one is any different from the next. We are sinners saved by grace and saints working to do good in the world in Christ's name. And so under the cross, our differences slowly fade and each one becomes important, and we try to make each one more important than ourselves. Our stories and dreams take on new meaning. There's a story here too that I want you to hear, and this one is called Big Table, another of our 1,001 new worshiping communities, and it's about the power of presence. Someone, a pastor, noticed that restaurant and hospitality workers were part of one of the toughest industries in the country. And so this church began to share meals and identify needs that they could meet. They saw that some of the workers had not had vacations in 5 and 6 years. And so they went down with things that were fun for them to do. They'd take by a whole bunch of baseball tickets so that workers could take their children. And some of those children had never been to a baseball game. They noticed decaying teeth and asked some of the dentists in the community whether they would fix teeth for some of these individuals who were so proud to get that service. They provided all that was needed for families through baby showers in the communities. And they paid off medical bills at Christmas. And that life change for people came through community, through relationships. I like this quote about Big Table. When someone who doesn't know you tells you God loves you, it gives you hope. There you have it, a pretty basic sermon. Welcome is found in the gospel of God. Welcome is found in our care for others. Welcome is found under the cross. There isn't anything hard about hearing it. We can all hear it easily enough, but like I said a few weeks ago, the hard part will be to keep on remembering to do it. I close with 1 Corinthians 2:8, the same text, interestingly, that Jacob focused on. So deeply do we care for you that we are determined to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you have become very dear to us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.